Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. And Dick Girardi is going to join us on Friday to talk about the Preakness. We'll get back to Tom Brady in a moment. Tim Beckman is the football coach at Illinois. We all know about what happened after the consent decree was handed down against Penn State, and players were then really given free agency for 13 months. And it was really that opening 3 weeks where it was like a meat market here, as if the program had been disbanded. It was one of the more disgusting things I've seen in college sports firsthand, to see it happen. And one of the worst offenders happened to be the University of Illinois, where they had sent six individuals on campus. Players ended up hanging out in the weight room here because they just did not want to deal with recruiters all over campus, roaming free, doing whatever they want, whatever, tracking guys to class, tracking guys to their dorm room. It really was unsightly and unseemly as to how it happens. One of the worst offenders, Tim Beckman and Illinois. He personally did not come here, but six members of his staff evidently were here. Bill O'Brien left for the airport that day to go to Connecticut. In fact, I remember when this came down, I had to drive to Connecticut myself. I was doing baseball in Norwich, Connecticut, for the State College Spikes Connecticut Tigers. And Bill was in Bristol that day doing the round of interviews. Well, when he walked out, there were the Illinois guys all over the place. Now, he had been committed to doing this other thing, so he did, so he left. Well, now some more Tim Beckman stories coming out from Illinois. Simon Cianovich, who had been the starting right tackle for Illinois over the past 3 years, got a firestorm roaring on Twitter over the weekend as he went after his former coach for the way he was treated in Illinois and for how his injuries were handled. And then other Illinois players came out in defense of Beckman. Some other former players have similar stories to Cianovich. Former Illinois defensive back Nick North spoke with the Illinois newspaper, the Daily Illini. He said, quote, "When I was being recruited out of high school, I met with a bunch of college coaches. Tim Beckman, man, he takes the cake as the worst coach I ever met." North committed to Illinois in 2011 to Ron Zook. Beckman was trying to recruit him to go to Toledo. Zook then was fired and replaced by Beckman. According to North, he tore his PCL and developed a cyst on his knee during the spring of 2013. He alleges that Beckman and the coaching staff forced him to continue to practice, even though he should have been doing light work, and that Beckman pressured players to come back from injury sooner than they felt comfortable doing so. North said that Beckman continually tried to get him to sign what he called a terminator sheet, which would have released him from his right to a scholarship had he signed it. North said Beckman would call him into his office multiple times per week to talk to him about signing it. He suspended me for a couple of days in the fall of 2013. He told me to come to his office every day and talk to him because I told him I wasn't going to sign the paper. Upon hearing the news of his suspension from her son, Linda North called the NCAA and spent over an hour on the phone trying to figure out Nick's rights as a student athlete. She says she thinks that call prompted someone from the NCAA to call Illinois because the next day, she said Beckman allowed Nick to come back to the team's activities. North said when he returned to practice, his teammates had no idea why he'd been absent. North also said that Beckman forced him to take a drug test every day for 2 weeks, despite the fact that he had never been in trouble before, because he was blatantly trying to find something to kick me off the team. Former Toledo kicker Alex Steigerwald said Beckman always threatened people with taking away their scholarships. Another former Toledo kicker, Andrew Weber, echoed the comments of both Cianovich and North, saying that Beckman would find any possible way for you to break a rule if he didn't like a player, but that Beckman never came after him because he was a walk-on. Illinois Athletic Director Mike Thomas had a teleconference on Monday in which he said the school would follow up on the allegations made by Cianovich. "I've asked to talk to Tim," Thomas said. "I think I'll keep that between Tim and I at this point. We've reviewed our records, and certainly they don't match up with what Simon Cianovich said." Thomas said there's no ongoing investigation, but the issue is being handled through the chancellor's office. Beckman issued a statement about Cianovich's initial allegations on Tuesday. "So I'm disappointed that a former Fighting Illini player has chosen this path to air his concerns," Beckman said. "I've been overwhelmed by the support shown by the student-athletes and the parents who are currently in our program, along with many former players. It's truly humbling. We'll continue to treat the players in our program, current and former, like family as we continue to move forward." This is only worth bringing up because I know how, within the rules, but how unethically they handled Penn State. And that's the reason I bring the story up. It's another one of those situations where were they within their rights to do it? Yes. Is there a proper way to do it? Of course there is. They didn't do it the proper way. Now, only one player ended up going there, and I was shocked at which player it was. I was shocked that they wanted him. And it turned out he spent 1 year there and then went to Northern Arizona. The player that, unfortunately, after I watched him practice a little bit, I wasn't quite sure why Penn State had recruited him. The kid out of Arizona. I mean, not a good kid, but was not meant for this level. You could see it. But the reason I bring the story out is that it's just another addition onto what we saw happen here. Build a program. Don't be desperate. I mean, I know there's a lot of pressure to win. I mean, when Penn State played out there this year, there couldn't have been more than 25,000 people there. I know they have a very good football history. Not great, awesome, or incredible, but they have a very good football history at Illinois. I mean, you know, Jim Grabowski, Dick Butkus. You know, they've had some peak seasons, and they've had some really down seasons. They really have had no consistency in that program at all. But when he pulled the Penn State thing, I said to myself, my goodness, how desperate are you? I think I'll swoop in and take whatever. Now, take, for example, the recruitment of the UAB players. That program has been disbanded. Well, of course those players should be recruited. There's some guys that are going to help some people. I'll give you an example. Howard Jordan, the running back, who gained 1,500 yards last year for UAB. Indiana signed him. They should. He's a good football player. What, is he supposed to sit out and not do anything? But when you have a program that's still active and running and it's in your own conference, and that's what you do, then you see a story like this, no offense, But after seeing the conduct here 3 years ago, my tendency is more to believe the players. I'm not going to listen to his spin. I remember last year before the Penn State game, he's going on and on about, you know, we played one of the toughest schedules in the country. I looked at the schedule. I said, okay, really? And I looked at it. I thought, who is he kidding here? I think his schedule was ranked 108 or something like that. Some bad number. But, okay.
Wait, he said he had the what ranked schedule in the country?
I said he said he had one of the, they played one of the toughest schedules in the country. That's why their record was what it was.
Well, he didn't say what country though.
I don't even think that schedule was tough in Venezuela. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Welcome back. It's great to have you with us. All right, back to Tom Brady. Now we digress with that little Illinois diatribe. Kevin thinks that Brady should have had a full season. I thought it was a bit excessive.
I honestly don't see how you can give him any punishment at all right now. I mean, if you did an investigation that showed some hard evidence, I'd say yes. But that's not the NFL. The NFL is, if it's circumstantial, we're going to hit you hard. Then you're going to appeal it, and then we're going to relook at it again. Take more time. And then finally cut it in half. That's the MO of the NFL right now.
Well, when you have the investigator having to defend the report, it tells you how vague it is. It's just vague. Now, do you and I logically think that something doesn't add up? Of course we do. But when you're talking about someone's livelihood here or whatever, and you're going to suspend them for 4 games, don't you think you need something that's a little more
concrete?
Stern. Yeah, concrete. Yeah.
Something that looks a little bit tangible, not just possibly could be, thought looks like maybe.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the problem with this. You know, I love when I hear the words more probable than not, and I hear, well, you know, in the NFL and in the legal world, that's a standard. You know what more probable than not means? It's 50.1% versus 49.9%. Really? Likely, unlikely, probable. You know, and he makes some statement about, you know, I mean, the evidence will tell you. I read your report. I don't want evidence. So, it's not a level playing field, that's for sure. as Steeler fans found out with Ben Roethlisberger. The Roethlisberger thing was the same thing. I mean, you know, it's an off-the-field incident where, what did he get, 6 games?
Yeah, and then it was cut.
Cut to 4.
And then there were actually no charges brought up at all.
Right.
You know, if there's one thing I've learned over the last few years, and you've said it many, many times, let things play out. This, to me, seems like a rush to judgment that doesn't need to be a rush to judgment.
Well,
although I use the term rush loosely, as it took how many weeks to get this piece of information.
It's a 14-week investigation into deflated footballs. 14 weeks. Things should have been wrapped up in a month.
But it's not a 14 weeks that's well spent. I mean, if you had 14 weeks and you came out with a lot of evidence and you're stating a lot of different things and you've looked at this and talked to these people, I think you might be able to say, okay, this was 14 weeks well used, and I feel confident in the decision that was that's been brought down. But it's not. It's 14 weeks. Everything's a little vague. There's only two people that you could say that, in your mind, beyond a reasonable doubt, were involved. And really, they're not even directly mentioned by the NFL.
Right.
Because they're employees of the Patriots. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, now let's look at it from the Brady point of view. Let's examine him. In his press conference before the Super Bowl, I mean, the one where he specifically talked about this, I don't mean anything he did at the Super Bowl. The one where he talked about this situation, why hasn't he come out and been more vigorous in his proclamation of innocence?
Does happen to make you a little bit skeptical.
Right? He has that press conference after the AFC Championship game. He was with Jim Gray at Salem State, and he also had that interview with Bob Costas. Now, when Robert Kraft had his press conference, how strong and definitive was Robert Kraft? Couldn't have been any more so, right? Yet Brady has never been, every time he's discussed this, it's always been vague and very wishy-washy. Okay? And that I have a big problem with. I thought the way Belichick handled his press conference was spot on. I felt Robert Kraft, the way he held his press conference, was spot on. They were strong, definitive, backbone, the whole thing. Brady has never been on this thing. Well, I don't think I am. Well, you know, do you think the Super Bowl's tainted? Well, what do you people think? Just, you know, don't be coy. This is not a time to be coy. There's a movie from years ago entitled The Majestic. It's one of the rare Jim Carrey roles where it's a dead serious role. He's not funny in this movie at all. And he plays a writer in Hollywood who is accused of being in the Communist Party. And this is during the witch hunts of the 50s. Yeah, he finds out, oh my goodness, they suspend him, whatever they do, whatever. And he's driving on the road, all of a sudden an animal crosses the bridge, he stops, skids, all of a sudden, boom, his car is now, it's the old wooden bridge, and it goes over into the river, and he washes down the river, knocks him out, he can't remember anything, and he shows up in this town, and he strongly resembles a war hero from the town who was killed in World War II. Unbeknownst to him, Martin Landau thinks it's his son. Well, eventually, you know, he starts to get his memory back, the whole thing, you know how it goes. And he has to go before, essentially, a McCarthy-like committee. And he was named by someone else because he went to the Bread Not Bullets thing at the University of California with a girl. And they said, now, why did you go to this communist meeting? He says, because, to use his words, quote, I was a horny young man. Right? And he's kidding around. And James Whitmore is listening to this on the radio back in the town that he had adopted. Take the music down 1 second. It's too loud. Okay. And he says, he looks at everybody else that was listening in the restaurant at the time, and he says, you don't want to play games with these guys. Brady's been a little too cute, don't you think, Kev? Been a little too cute in this whole thing.
Especially in the interview with Gray.
Yeah, exactly. Agreed. Back with more after the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Steve Jones, the one with the hanging judge, Kevin Hurley, thought Brady should get 8 years. I thought that was a little steep.
Listen, there's only one game I really wanted him to see him out for. Let's be quite honest.
So, in other words, you don't think you're good enough to beat him?
Defensively, no. No. I think the Steelers would have to outscore them.
Garoppolo still beat you.
I might
imagine how that,
I might just burn my terrible towel if that happens.
Imagine how that would feel.
I might just burn it.
Second round draft pick out of Eastern Illinois goes out. Okay.
I might go down to downtown Sunbury and Cameron Park and light my towel on fire at that point in a public display of protest.
I hope you would put it on our Facebook page. Michigan, secondary violations, all under Jim Harbaugh. Detroit Free Press with the story. None of the violations impacted the eligibility of any athletes. What did they do? Well, they improperly discussed a recruit before he had been admitted. You know, how often have I, for example, said, I can't talk about him because of this, that's that rule. For example, Penn State is going to have a transfer that is going to start class next Monday. And that's the first time I'd be allowed to talk about him, as an example. Let's see. They also provided a helmet and a jersey for a fundraiser to benefit a high school scholarship fund. Shared recruiting materials through social media. And allowed a recruit to sit in premium seating at a campus hockey game.
In their defense, though, they did not realize that the charity event that they gave the helmet for was to benefit a scholarship fund. They thought it was, the way I understood, to benefit someone who was ill.
These are all minor things, okay? And this is, you're exactly right about the scholarship fund thing. You're trying to do the right thing, and it breaks a rule. You're like, I don't know about that. But just giving you the news. Also, you got to love this one. Remember in Bull Durham, we need a rain out.
Right, and they turned the sprinklers on.
Right, and that's how they got a rain out. Well, in high school, they did something a little bit different. Let's see. I don't know which high school this is, but they didn't want to play the game. And so, overnight, they planted a tree in between home plate and the pitcher's mound.
They planted a tree.
So I got a call from our Parks and Recs guy who said we might have to cancel the doubleheader. The weather was beautiful out, so I asked, well, what the heck for? He told me a 25-foot tree was planted between home plate and the pitcher's mound.
How do you plant a 25-foot tree and no one sees it? You'd have to bring in a crane.
They did it over. Well, you could plant a tree. You can go over to College Gardens here, if we're going to say, grab a tree and plant it.
How many guys would it take to plant a 25-foot? A 25-foot tree? Really?
Well, it's a skinny. I see the picture. It's no big deal.
Okay. I'm thinking, I mean, to me, a 25-foot tree looks pretty big, but you're saying it's skinny.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know, whatever. It's manageable.
Can you pitch around it?
You can't. It was done in Arizona. They planted the tree between the pitcher's mound and home plate, and they had to postpone the doubleheader. Now that is a modern version of the Bull Durham sprinkler system.
That's actually ingenious, really, you have to admit.
Okay.
You know what? Right. The only thing that pops into my head the whole time you were saying that story is.
Today for all the world to share.
That's the only thing that could popped into my head.
I see. All right. Well, obviously the Brady thing will dominate the news for a while. But again, the one area where I'm going to be critical of Tom Brady, above all, I think his response to this thing stinks. I mean, I'm talking about publicly. As I told you earlier, if my owner or my manager, and they're looking into something, right? And I'm somewhere linked in, and they want to see go ahead. But if some outside entity wants to come in, take a look, and doesn't have subpoena power, there's no way in the planet I'm doing it. I've got a right to privacy. You want it? Go get a subpoena, pal. You know, my checks say New England Patriots Football Club on it. My checks do not say the National Football League. Right? I mean, what does it say in the checks? I know the business is football, and the business in football is the National Football League, with 32 entities under the umbrella. But you still work for the New England Patriots. Or, say, for example, Ben Roethlisberger. He works for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I don't know what the entity is. Is it Pittsburgh Steelers Football Club Incorporated?
I don't know.
Who signs the checks? The Rooneys do. Roger Goodell's signature appears on the footballs, not on the checks. That's why I say he's well within his rights when they, without subpoena power, say, we want to see your phone, we want to see your computer. We say, get a subpoena, pal. Get away from me. Now, that's how he ended up paying four games. Because he wasn't being forthcoming. He's not getting four games because of deflated footballs. He's getting four games because he basically told him to take a hike. But on the flip side, when he's had a press conference or when he's had an interview opportunity, Jim Gray, Bob Costas, he has shown no backbone whatsoever. He's been very wishy-washy about the whole thing. A little too coy for my liking. What about yours? Were you playing Candy Crush? What are you doing?
No, I was thinking you were talking to our listeners to call in at 800-795-9565 and give us their thoughts. You know how I feel. I think I'm not a Tom Brady fan by any means. Not because I don't think he's good.
But he speaks highly of you.
But because he rips apart my team too many times over his career. However, yeah, I think he's handled this very arrogantly. It's like, you're questioning me? And the press conference, that was the first thing that popped into my head. It's like, wait a minute. This is a legitimate question you're asking, and you're like offended by being asked about it.
Right.
You're the quarterback of the football team. If anybody wants footballs deflated, you'd be the one to do it. It sure wouldn't be the center. Hey, Tom, I think maybe we should deflate the footballs. It'd be easier. That's a great idea. Why don't you go tell the equipment coach? Yeah.
Now, let's get to the McNally-Jastrzemski text messages. All right? And this is in the Wells report. Jastrzemski sends a text to McNally. Tom is acting crazy about balls. The next day, McNally texted Jastrzemski. Tom stinks. It's not really the word, but you can fill in what he would. Okay. I'm going to make the next ball an effing balloon. On several occasions in the following days, McNally texted Jastrzemski, F Tom. And seemed to suggest that he was purposely going to overinflate footballs to get back at the quarterback for something. Now, why would they text that?
See, that's the thing that gets me. In an era where nothing seems to be private, why would you want to have a copy of anything laying around that would incriminate you?
No kidding.
And it's not like, it doesn't seem to me like the equipment manager is a big fan of Tom Brady in the first place.
Right. Well, maybe he's been tough on him. I don't know. I mean, normally equipment managers are pretty well liked by the guys. I mean, you know, we all know how Spider Caldwell's been treated here, and Kirk Deal, and now Jay. Mitch Stover, for example, in basketball, is beloved here. And Mitch is a low-key kind of guy, but just is a really good guy. Now, Mitch right now is going through something awful. He's battling cancer. I saw Mitch 3 weeks ago, and he was about to go in for his first chemo. But he came to practice, his basketball practice, about 3 weeks before the season ended, and they all stopped practice and all went over to one by one embrace him. And that's why every equipment manager I've ever been around has always been treated that way. Now, I haven't been in a pro locker room, so I don't know. Maybe the pro locker room, they're just a bunch of jerks. I have no idea. But the ones I've been around have been about as nice gets. Jay came in from the University of Houston. He's awesome. He's great to deal with. Same thing with Spencer. He's awesome to deal with. I genuinely like those guys. I always have.
I want to turn you in a different direction, though, because we just heard this with CBS News not long ago, and I'm trying to dig up some of the audio for you. But Tom Wells has come out now to defend his investigation and saying he was speaking out publicly because his independence was questioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, the difference between Tom Brady and Ted Wells is this. Tom Brady's checks say New England Patriots Football Club Incorporated. The $5 million Ted Wells got says National Football League on it. Correct?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why he's coming out and saying anything.
Because when you look at this investigation, if you want an independent investigation in something like this, there are several steps that the NFL must take. Number one, it has to be an entity selected by the NFL and approved by the Players Association. and then each must pay half of the investigative fees. Now it's an independent investigation. Now both sides are represented here. The appeals process should be a three-person panel, one from the Players Association, one from the league, and a third arbitrator approved by both the league and the Players Association. Now you feel like you're getting equal representation across the board on a broad spectrum as to how to handle things. So Wells has made a ton of money. Let's make no mistake out of this. I'm not questioning the man's integrity, not in the least. But there are certain facts. He got $5 million for this investigation from the National Football League. I don't know how many million, and probably the same amount, pretty close to it, for the incognito investigation with Martin with the Dolphins. And he's also involved in the concussion lawsuit situation on behalf of the NFL to the tune of $30 million. Now you want to know why there are questions? And I'm not questioning his integrity. I just think his report's vague.
Well, there is one thing that he said, though, that I don't understand. Talking about Tom Brady, he said he was totally cooperative. At the same time, he refused to permit us to review electronic data from his telephone. Well, that's a little bit of a contradiction there. If he was totally cooperative, then he would allow you to do that.
Right. But again, that goes back to, and Kevin, I feel very strongly about this. Say I'm the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, and Dan Rooney, there's some issue, and Dan Rooney wants to see my phone. I would give it to him. I work for Dan Rooney. The NFL wants to see my phone. No go. I don't work for them. If you don't have subpoena power, you're not going to look at my phone. Why would I let them look at my... Why would I let Ted Wells... And it's not Ted Wells looking at my phone. It's a group of his minions looking at my phone. What do I want them to look at my phone for?
I have Dick on the line to chat with us on this topic, Steve. Dick from Milton.
Hi, Dick. I'd say, again, just so you know, Kevin, the screen is gonzo, so...
I'll attribute it to Kevin's whatever. Anyhow, make a long. I heard an interesting a theory on this today. If they don't settle this, and let's say he appeals this and they reject his appeal, he has a right to take this to court. I mean, actually, a regular court for a judge, or not, I don't know if it'd go to a jury. And that's, they said that's something that neither the NFL or the New England Patriots or Tom Brady would really want. To go to that step. So maybe they'll negotiate some kind of a lesser penalty down the road. But my biggest thing is, I'm not defending Tom Brady because I just can't in my mind imagine that you could take that many footballs and those officials are handling out every play and nobody notices any difference in these footballs.
I've said that the entire time, Dick, since the first day this came out. And I don't understand why there's no discipline against Walt Anderson and his crew.
I guess my point being is, if it's that negligible, they don't notice it, how can it affect the game that much?
Agreed. They handled the Patriots footballs. Three officials on every play handled a Patriots football when New England was on offense. Three officials on every play handled the Indianapolis football when the Colts were on offense. And nothing raised a red flag to them at all.
Well, then a solution to that would be, and it would cost them a little bit more money, to have an extra official on the sidelines every time to throw the ball in play to the official that's on the field.
I disagree with that, Dick. They don't have to do that. What they have to do is very simple. Each team submits their footballs before the game. You're in possession of them. You measure them out. Okay, they go out, let them warm up with them. The footballs have to be brought back, remeasured, and then the umpire brings out the footballs for the one team. The back judge brings out the footballs to the other team, and you start the game. I mean, that's a simple solution to it. Now you go into the game, and there's cameras all over the place with TV and so forth, and NFL films. Nobody's going to sit there on the sideline with a needle and deflate a ball. They can't.
Well, I guess as far as they let this come now, since that game until this point, as of today, and all this talk and where they're at with the suspension for, you know, they're going to open up a can of worms. They're never going to get back in that bottle, and it's going to be more than a football pretty soon, because the wide receivers use an advantage by putting things on their hands or whatever, and or fingertips or their gloves, and it's just, it'll go. I don't know where this will end. I guess that's my point, and it didn't have to come to this point by any stretch of the imagination. As far as I'm concerned, that's no defense of Brady. That's really more of a criticism of the NFL to me.
Well, you know, the Vikings have already been fined $25,000 for putting footballs in front of a heater. The Chargers were fined $25,000 because they put Stick'Em on the ball. Okay. You know, what's the... other than the Dick Tracy, James Bond stuff here, what's the difference?
Well, I don't see any difference. If you're doing something to alter a football or alter your hands or alter whatever, or to gain an unfair advantage, and the NFL doesn't say anything about it, then I don't know why they should be even thinking and criticizing the guy for this, in a sense.
Well, they find the Vikings $25,000. They find the Chargers $25,000. They find the Patriots $1 million.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say I can't defend Tom Brady.
I agree.
I just can't understand how the officials bear no responsibility. And I'm not even blaming the ball boy. You know, if Tom Brady said to him, geez, how about letting Valera one of those footballs, you know what, if he doesn't do it, he wouldn't be the ball boy next week. I guarantee you that.
Right, exactly. So,
I mean, that's where that would go. Yeah. I mean, yeah. This kid's not making the kind of money those guys are making. I just think it's out of hand. I don't know where it'll end, but I guarantee you, I think my only prediction is he will not miss four football games.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin and I both feel the same way, that he will not. I think he'll miss two.
Yeah, I don't know what it'll come down to, but I guarantee you one thing, they're not going to want to go before some judge somewhere else with the kind of evidence that they have that he affected a football game. And if they put that before a real judge instead of the NFL commissioner or whoever reviewed this, the panel, if they put that before a real judge, even Judge Judy would laugh him out of court. I guess that's my point.
Maybe they should have brought her in.
And I'm just going to let go. I hope they get it settled before they start the bowl in July. I guess I'll let you go.
Today on the People's Court, Doug Llewellyn.
I was like, Doug Llewellyn.
Remember the, what was it? It was Saturday Night Live, and it was John Lovitz, and they had him playing, he was playing Satan, I guess. I think it was Satan. And he comes out and he loses his case, right? And he goes off on some rant, and then he looks over and he goes, I'm sorry, Doug, it's not you. Oh. Tom Brady's wishy-washy in his answers. Don't like it. Roger Goodell is too tough in his discipline. Don't like that. Ray Rice gets two games. Tom Brady gets four. Sean Payton gets a year suspension. Bill Belichick gets none. The Chargers get $25,000. The Patriots get $1 million. The Vikings get $25,000. The Patriots get $1 million. Okay. Now let's take a look at the graph of consistency. It looks like the Himalayas. Talk to you tomorrow.